It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
All right, little lover boy. Like it, Joe. Ken and Curtis here until noon. Back after a week hiatus. Somebody had texted in 781. Dave Roberts and Mookie Betts were not Red Sox connections in the World Series. We're kidding, of course.
Oh, people.
A lot of them. Mookie is omnipresent. 3 rings. Get to him in a second. I want to get to Bill first. So Belichick, another good week. Halloween costume you approved of.
Excellent.
Won the socials on Thursday, Friday. But he was spot on again. So this Patriots trade of Joshua Uche. If you were going to give a letter grade to this trade, it's a D-, right? You got
Why?
A 6th-round pick. For a guy who was a legitimate pass rusher, you gave him to the arch-rival Chiefs?
So I have to understand this. So Wiggy and others tell me that he wasn't a starter here, that he was just a pass rush specialist who wasn't as good as Keon White or Jennings, right?
Not this year.
But that's what I've been told. Like, so I also heard...
Am I crazy? Were not he and Judon pretty good pass rushers and
right.
starters
of Judon,
on this team
that,
on the bill?
If that trade's a D, what's the Judon trade right now?
Well, Judon's pretty good because
A plus.
Yeah, it's an A plus. What'd they get for him?
What, third.
Third. Great trade. Okay. A.
I mean,
A to A plus.
And boy, do those Falcons miss Bill. but I.
This one's just weird, though. You would admit. This is odd. But, a 6th-round pick in 2 years?
I agree. But this is my whole point with May. It's incongruent. Like, so you're trading a good player. You're clearly not maximizing your roster this year. You're not doing whatever you can to make the team worthy of its young quarterback. But in the next breath, you're playing him in a game that you already traded a player from playing on your defense in. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. If you want to have Drake May be ready for next season, if you know this year is just a building block, then the only way that building block can be destroyed is if he gets another concussion in close proximity to his first one.
And you started with the cautious approach, and now you've totally flipped. You were cautious to put him in there. Now you're pushing him.
What it proves to me, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is that there was no plan, ever. They've been rudderless since the beginning. They were waiting for the team to be demoralized or for the fans to check out of both, and that's why they played him against the Texans.
Do you think it's because Mayo's feeling the heat? Like, they got to win, they want to keep riding it?
No, I've spoke to people over there. That he's not losing his job this year. No chance.
Well, not this year, but in the offseason.
I mean, before next. I think he will be back week one of 2025.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Locked in.
Lock it in.
Lock it in.
So he kept his job when, after the soft comments, they played the way they did and that they didn't check out. The players, speaking of, we did this week on the Bruins, are the players getting Monty fired?
Yeah.
Like the Patriots could have gotten Mayo fired after that because it was the nadir with Belichick dancing on his grave and the players, and there could have been an easy opportunity, the players not being on curfew, all of that. So
Jacoby saved his job.
Yep.
The Jacoby 70-yard drive.
I mean, I don't know if he saved it, but he certainly improved his job security. And
to their credit, they have legitimate excuses with players out on defense, and you know Christian Ellis is leading the way on that side of the football, and their secondary without Duggar. I mean, they did a pretty good job without some of their stars.
Absolutely,
of their starters.
And we are at the unofficial halfway point. It'll be halftime of Week 9, his actual halfway point because of the 17-game season.
Right.
But they have the identical record of the Patriots last year, 2-6. Both teams had big wins against a good quarterback, the Patriots beating
Burrow.
Burrow and Aaron, and then the Patriots of last season beating Josh Allen. But look at the other quarterbacks. Like, the Patriots have a lesser team and have played tougher opponents, and they're 2-6, the same record the Patriots had last year. So I know it felt awful. I know it's not been perfect. I know Gerard Mayo says a lot of things that have you scratching your head and wondering why he's doing it. But
including tomorrow.
I don't get it. I just, this one, I have no...
Well, I don't get it either, and I don't get the trade of Uche for that value. So here's what Belichick said in the Belichick Clip of the Week on Monday after the trade was consummated.
Well, I assume it was a 25-6th. It was a 26-6th, then, honestly, then they didn't give up anything in my mind. And then if you like the player and re-sign him, then you re-sign him. Look, Josh Uche is a really good rusher. He hasn't had a chance to rush much this year for the Patriots because they've been behind a lot and the situation hasn't been good. But he had a big year 2 years ago. Now, you know, he had Judon on the other side of him, so it was two good pass rushers. But he'll have a lot of opportunities to rush in Kansas City. I think that he'll really help him. He's got surprising power for his size. He's got, you know, excellent quickness and a good get-off, and he has some flexibility in coverage. So I think it's a good addition for a team that needs another pass rusher, which everybody does. Josh can do that. He'll definitely help him.
I mean, he's so right, and it's just that's just raw football analysis. I'm not even sure he's trying to twist the knife there. But he's right, and you to only get a sixth for that, you're going to watch. You have any doubt he's going to thrive in Kansas City? With that defense?
No.
I mean, he's going to rack up sacks.
The best defensive coordinator in football.
He's going to potentially win a Super Bowl and be mocking Mayo.
But does anybody ever push back on Bill? Like, okay, so why did you trade what would be Trent McDuffie for Cole Strange? Does anybody say, why did you franchise Joe Tooney and then let him go to the Chiefs for a compensatory third rounder?
Did you ever ask Bill about Tooney? Because that happened during your morning show interview tenure. I feel like you must have.
I think, no, that was he was in the afternoon then, because that was 2020.
That was incongruent, to use that word again. It didn't make sense with where they were at the time. They should have been in rebuild mode then.
And why did you trade Shaq Mason and Gronk to Tampa?
And I get you're in rebuild mode now, but that just, it's a former second-round pick, legit pass rusher. You gave him to the Chiefs for a six-round pick in 2 years.
And the reason Bill's just all butthurt about it is because that's another second-round pick that can be perceived as a bust.
Yeah. Well, not after he goes to Kansas City. I mean, I think he's going to have a great finish. Now, I'm not sure he's going to be Mookie Betts level of
I don't hear Bill, though, mentioning Judon too often anymore. That was a big one early on.
That's true. If you get Bill on.
We're going to get lunch today at Crew.
Let's go, before we get to Mookie, to Coach in New Hampshire. Hello, Coach.
Yes, there's two questions I have for you guys. One, would you be in favor, if the Detroit Lions happen to win the Super Bowl, of getting rid of Mayo and hiring Ben Johnson? I think he's a really great up-and-coming coach. And two, if in fact Drake May can play the rest of the year and is healthy, why not look to the future and have Milton back him up and have him be the first guy in, you know, just in case we got something there, because we know we don't really have anything in Jacoby. Those are my thoughts. Thanks.
Yeah, I don't think Ben Johnson's going to come here either way, even if you wanted him. He'll have his pick of the litter. I don't think Foxborough is going to be the number one destination.
Well, why not? If Drake May is legitimately good.
Because the owner hasn't shown a propensity to spend.
Okay. So it's just your Kraft out. But obviously Kraft has the money. They have the ability to make that. If Drake continues to show how good he could be, that's a great spot for Ben Johnson to go.
I want Kraft to be like Kamala and pay his fair share, and I don't think he has been. And I have no. What have you seen that Kraft's going to spend money like?
Yeah, but it's a coach. He will spend on a coach. That's not like.
But that's my point. The coach will have an opportunity to go to a roster that has far more talent than this one.
But maybe not the quarterback.
If the Lions win the Super Bowl, as I think they may, then he'll have whatever job he wants. That becomes available.
When's their pass rusher coming back? He's Dunsky for
Aiden Hutchinson?
Yeah.
Potentially the Super Bowl, which means not coming.
Yeah, that's tough.
He's got to find Peyton Manning's HGH guy in Germany.
Well, there you go. You could have dangled Uche to Detroit. Like, wouldn't there be a market for him?
Probably not.
Bizarre.
I don't know. Like, either way.
Maybe I'm just like too fixated on this. But
why doesn't everybody see it this way?
That was a very frustrating thing Monday to hear that.
But why doesn't everybody see it this way, Ken? Like, you're selling off pieces.
Yes, you should.
Veteran pieces.
Yes,
you're doing your due diligence. You've told teams that everybody, by and large, is available for trade opportunities.
Right,
and then in the middle of this,
we've cut KJ Osborne. Come and get him.
Right,
he's
don't all call at once for Tyquan Thornton, guys. So it's now in between the Uche trade, which was Monday, the NFL trade deadline, which is Tuesday.
Yeah.
You're going to rush your quarterback back from a concussion to play in a meaningless game.
And I hate to do worst case scenario, but let's say he gets concussed again tomorrow. What is your reaction and that of others Monday? It's universal. Why did you play this guy, right? Everybody's now on your bandwagon.
Of course.
No, of course we hope that doesn't happen. It's not that likely.
I said to Wiggy, it'll be the exact same as the famous AB poll, which was Friday, do you want AB here? 80-20, no. He gets to the team. The Patriots beat the Steelers. He doesn't even play. Monday, it's 80-20, great move. If he gets concussed again or even suffers another hit to the head, everybody, because there's just... Cost-benefit analysis helps with everything. What do you lose? What do you stand to gain? Is it worth the risk? In this case, it doesn't at any point. And there's nothing about this that helps it.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Tennessee has a legit run defense. They've been actually pretty good stuffing the run, which means May's going to have to potentially throw a lot, run a lot, scramble a lot. It could be a game and on a short practice week, limited reps. We don't know. I mean, who knows? Actually, the media doesn't get to view a lot of the practice, but I'm assuming he just... They had Brissett taking some of the reps. Back to Coach's other point, Milton. There is a lot of sentiment to get Milton involved.
There's
but
not, not. Stop.
I think
stop.
That's – I don't want to say it's dumb because Brissett is not the future, but there is something about winning games and just having a guy in there. I mean, Brissett just won you the last game. You just made the argument he saved Mayo's job.
No, I potentially.
Well, locked him in for next year.
Right.
But, so Brissett is obviously serving a function here.
And the other point on Drake May, and I'm sorry, it is to me the biggest story, that he's playing tomorrow. I am shocked. And I think everybody on Monday would have said he's not playing on Sunday. Let's say he gets dinged again. And this time he's in the protocol for four games. So he misses four games as opposed to missing one and then playing the remainder of the season.
Right.
Like, in every calculus, it makes no sense.
Well, again, it must be about Mayo must be feeling it. Like, he called the team out. They responded. Brissett came in, delivered him a win. They know May is the better quarterback. He's starting to get hot. He saw that 17-yard run. They want to capitalize on the momentum.
Joe Milton
they
is available.
They want to get rolling.
But the people are saying Joe Milton. He's available to the whole NFL. He's not a good player.
Well, no, he's not on the practice squad. He's on the roster, right?
Okay. He was available to every NFL team.
Oh, in the
if the Patriots got an offer for Joe Milton, you don't think they're taking it in advance of the deadline?
And they just went through the scenario last year with Malik Cunningham.
It's just we are so.
I do like Joe Milton.
Everybody,
I am enticed by what he could be.
But here's the issue, Braverman. It's that people around here don't watch college football, and so they see these highlight reels, but they don't realize that. Like, you watched the Tennessee-Alabama game last year. He's not a great quarterback. Like, Jacoby Brissett is a much better player than Joe Milton.
Well, he could be a project. That happens.
Okay. So he's like
where
the fullback with
reps.
The Saints. What's his name? That came in.
Taysom Hill.
Mike Allstott.
Yeah, Mike Allstott. Now that is a great fullback. Who was the guy on the Browns when Mangini beat the Patriots like 30-7?
Oh, Peyton Hillis.
Oh, my God. Was that a beast?
He was a Madden cover guy, I remember.
We've just become an Andy Hart segment. Fullback love. All right, 617-779-7937. Is Bill Wright? Was that a horrible trade of Josh Uche? Why did they do that for a six-round pick to the Chiefs?
Let's go Buckeyes.
Should Drake be playing tomorrow? And our poll question, why did Grant Williams truck Tatum last night? Pretty hot debate on the Twitter poll. 48% to 38%. He's a DB over. He's bitter at not being here anymore. So it's a tight race. Most people think he meant it. Not an accident. That's getting no love.
Yeah, there was nothing accidental about it.
Definitely meant it. Joe B has more in his trend. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cracked in the air to deep center field. Judge retreats. He'll make the grab, but the Dodgers have come all the way back and taken the lead in game five. From down five to nothing to ahead 7-6 in the most preposterous way.
All right, Curtis, so you had some schadenfreude this week. Not with the Dodgers winning, but the Yankees losing. And you had the Jets losing in epic fashion last week, which was always pretty good, even though I had... Jets are very confusing. Very confusing to me.
I mean...
But it was fun to see them lose.
How much heat did I have, face whatever, when I said that the Jets would be in last place?
Yeah. I mean, but I guess now they're not, though, right?
But don't you, in a day where we've been very deferential, and I respect you immensely, having been in your shoes one day this week, I know it's not easy.
Yeah, very evidence Thursday.
The hate that you give Tom Brady.
I don't give Tom Brady hate. Okay,
Ken, everybody in the audience is shaking their head saying you're a liar. So it's okay. I'm not a fan of Bill Belichick. It's okay. I don't like the guy. I think he's a dink for no reason. Tom Brady, you say, went to a, quote, super team, and it was just expected. Aaron Rodgers is 3 years younger than Tom Brady was when he went to Tampa Bay, and he looks ancient on a team that has incredible weapons on offense.
Look good in the second half.
That has one of the best defenses in football, and they're 3-6 because it's really hard. It's almost impossible. And Aaron Rodgers had a whole year before he started his first real game, because he missed the rest of the last season.
Okay, but stronger emotion.
But do you agree with what I just said?
No, Jets are going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
He's going to pull this out.
No, they're not. So they're three and six.
Joe, thank you very much. And they haven't. Look at their schedule. Very easy, navigable schedule.
But so nothing you've seen in his 10 starts with the Jets has changed your opinion of what Tom Brady did in Tampa Bay?
I have waffled on Rodgers a little bit this year. But he's got the team now that Davante Adams is there, and they got the 1-2 punch, and they're certainly not trading Garrett Wilson. That's when he.
I know, obviously, I was close to perfection.
I'm not rooting for Rodgers, but he's good enough to get this team to the playoffs. They're not going to win the Super Bowl. He will get them there. They turned the corner, shut out in the first half. Second half, they look good. Okay, that's not the point of this conversation.
They lost to the Patriots.
Yes, I know.
Who were
a week ago
quitting?
Can I get to my question? I have a good question here. Stronger emotion from you of these three things. Which elicited the stronger emotion? The joy of seeing the Jets lose to the Patriots last week. The joy of seeing the Yankees crumble in that fashion.
Just like a cookie.
Or the anger at watching Mookie win his second as a Dodger.
Yeah, I said this to you yesterday, and you were caught off guard. It sucks that we don't get October baseball anymore.
I know. And you do at random times, just like...
I miss it.
You miss baseball. Was it the documentary that got you thinking back?
No, some of the best days of my life were 2003, 2004. I remember where I was, sophomore dorm at BC, watching Derek Lowe strike out Terrence Long, do the junk shot, jump up and down. That team, the 03 Sox, going to Baseball Tavern, like, they were the balls. And then, you know, I watch in another dorm... Aaron Boone's home run.
And, well, and everybody was caught up in it.
It was just one of the most unbelievable. It was cathartic. It was this unbelievable moment where we all watched something together, which is no longer the case.
Yeah. And impossible. I don't think it will ever happen again.
And it was like the second act. I mean, the 03 season never ended. It was Cold War, and it was no social media. You're waiting to hear. I remember where I was when Nomar got traded. Pete Shepard jumped on. It was 15 minutes after the deadline. The deadline was at 4, and it was unbelievable. The whole process, the pursuit of A-Rod, all of that. But even 2018, going over there, seeing the ALCS, going checking out the unbelievable play against the Astros in that series, and then beating the Dodgers. But the temperature, walking around with James on Halloween, feeling the nice, warm October night, there is nothing in sports like having a big game to go to in the middle of October when you feel like the summer's still going on. And what the Red Sox have done is take that from us.
Well, they have, and they have players scattered, including Mookie. Now, here was Mookie at the celebration at Dodger Stadium, took to the mic. Sometimes we don't even get these with the parades anymore. You don't even get the players to speak here anymore. The Celtics, did the Celtics talk at the parade? Some of them did, huh?
They talked before the parade.
Right before the parade. So maybe, I don't know if LA, did the Dodgers actually have a parade? This was actually in the stadium and they talked. Okay, so I'm not sure when this was, before or after, but here's Mookie addressing the crowd.
When I became a Dodger, it was for, 12 or 13 years? It was a lot of years, and we got two so far. We got like eight, nine years left. I got to get to at least five or six, right? We got to do this five or six times, right? Hey, I just want to thank each and every one of y'all for coming out and supporting us. And for, to my teammates, y'all don't know how much y'all mean to me, man. I love you guys. Hey, I got three. I'm trying to feel this hand up, LA.
Oh, man, what a kick in the junk as a Red Sox fan. Like, what? How painful is that? This guy has totally come out of his shell. He's addressing the crowd. He's legitimately happy. That is not the same player who left here. Emotionally, just in terms of his charisma. And now he's got two. I mean, granted, one was a COVID year, but now he's got a second. He's right. He could easily get two or three more.
You know the moment of Mookie that most sticks with me about his time here was the 12...
The bowling interview with Jess Mendoza?
Oh, who could forget? No, it was 2018. It was the like this 12-pitch at-bat with the bases loaded when X says, like, we're here to party, whatever that was.
It's time to party.
That was... The stadium, Fenway, erupting.
It was his MVP year.
And no, he didn't win the MVP here in 2018, did he?
2018, yeah.
The Red Sox won the World Series that year. Yeah. I thought nobody won the World Series and the MVP in the same year in a long time.
I thought he won the MVP that year.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
So I hate the way in which they've decided to run the Red Sox. I hate how distracted and how their portfolio has been so...
Mookie did win the MVP that year. Thank you, Joe.
2018?
Yeah.
So he won the World Series and the MVP?
Yeah, he had 346. Wow. Scored 129 runs.
My bad.
Beat out Trout.
Oh, well, Trout. I mean, the best player never to win anything. My bad. But the nonetheless, I just... I can't even get angry about him anymore.
You can't? Not, like, I
what
mean,
am I going to do? I've screamed. I've
spoken, time to party!
I've spoken to Sam Kennedy dozens of times. Huge fan of mine. I've spoken to Brian O'Halloran. I've spoken to Chaim Bloom. I've spoken to Craig Breslow. I spoke to Tom Warner. They all look at me like I've got hair on my head when I tell them that they've changed.
But now show them the Dodgers title. Like this championship and Mookie at the center of it. The go-ahead run is... brought in by Mookie. Granted, sack fly, maybe not time to party. But still, like, and to see how different he is. And my toughest thing is I have argued for all these years, and it's tough to argue this, that he just didn't want to be here. He wouldn't have signed even if they had offered him that money. But now he has sort of directly said, I think to Gasper, he said the opposite, that if the Red Sox had offered him the deal, he would have stayed. I don't know if he's telling the truth, but how do I really know unless you get inside? How does anybody know unless you get inside his brain? So maybe they did botch it. Maybe he would have stayed here and it was about money. I don't know.
I got to get to at least five or six, right?
Oh, man, is that tough.
So other than Mookie Betts, who have the Red Sox wanted to retain that was homegrown that left?
Lester.
They didn't want to retain him. They thought he was asking for too much.
Yeah, I mean.
John Henry admitted that was a mistake.
Yeah. So you think they could have gotten it done?
Well,
you don't believe Mookie didn't want to be here?
No.
Because he was uncomfortable here. You would admit that. He felt awkward here in this region.
I don't know.
You could sense it about him.
He sounded awkward there. He's kind of an awkward guy.
He sounds like he's on the top of the
world. I got three hands left. No, I would say.
I'm trying to feel this hand up, LA.
I mean, if it's true that they just botched it or cheaped out. I mean, then this should bother you every year as a Red Sox fan for the 9 years left on his deal and that title.
But, Ken, you're arriving at a conclusion we've all been at for years.
I know. It's taken me a while. It's just now to see him in Dodger blue.
Everybody they want to keep. Do you think Rafael Devers loves Boston?
Yeah, I think he
loves it. Really? What has he ever done in the community? When have you ever seen him anywhere at anything in Boston?
I don't know. I mean,
sure. Have you ever seen him?
I don't know what any of the players do.
Well, Mookie was very active here. Xander Bogaerts is very active here.
Unfortunately, that's a part of the day-to-day, we really don't see with any of the players.
The only superstar that I see less of or saw less of was Kevin Garnett. I mean, so, but you gave him $351 million. Like, it.
Yeah, but he's been, Devers just seems happy and like it and like Cora and like the region. I'm sure the money had something to do with it.
Do you think that Jalen and Jason initially wanted to be Celtics for life? Or do you think they've come to love and enjoy both their paycheck and the city? And the Celtics have bent over backwards for both of them, as they should, because they are the best, most talented, exclusive commodities in all of basketball. So the Red Sox, back in the day, bent over backwards to get a guy like Manny Ramirez, who is far more esoteric than any one of these guys.
Yeah, he stayed at the Ritz. That was when the Ritz was peaking.
So it's just that they are no longer a priority. And Ken, the best
okay,
way
to... but 781 texture. No matter how much the Red Sox offered Mookie Betts, he was not going to sign. Yeah, that's where I was for 5 years.
You know what? And that's why you're texting in and not on the show. Because if you accept that type of answer, then you will accept anything. You are an easy mark.
I still defer to that. I still think it's true, but I'm waffling.
So you think if instead of spending on $900 million on the Penguins, they spent $500 million on Mookie, he doesn't sign here?
I just don't know.
Answer the question.
Why do you always ask these questions? You try to frame somebody in like a detective pose.
I'm asking simply. If they spent $500 million on Mookie instead of $900 million on the Penguins, do you think he's still here?
I don't think so. I mean, I tend to think he just didn't want to be here.
And you know that's not the answer.
And he thought he would get more money, and he ended up getting $365 or whatever it was.
So if he got $500 million.
$500 million's a lot.
Do you think he's still in Boston?
But that wasn't an option at the time.
We're playing make-believe.
Make-believe, yes. I think $500 million.
Okay, so it wasn't the city.
He could have been convinced to,
right,
to
just
live
like
in
everybody.
Rhode Island.
I mean, you know, I take a pay cut to work for you. That's the way it is. But
do not.
I don't understand why we give the Red Sox a pass. And I think it's honestly the biggest indictment of the organization is that there isn't lines full of vitriol against them because they've arrived at indifference.
That's my question. Is anybody pissed off about Mookie not being here? Did you watch that this weekend? Were you pissed off that Mookie's not here, or are you past it? Is it ancient history? Were you more happy that the Yankees lost? 617-779-7937.
When John Henry began as the leader of a committee to reform big payroll in Major League Baseball is the day my fandom died. Because it is the moment they chose the betterment of other teams over rewarding the fan base and the massively high cost the Red Sox fans spend.
Can they get you back in with spending this offseason? I know you don't believe it's going to happen, but let's say it does. Shock of shock, it does happen. Can they pull you back in?
Let's
say they
sign
Blake Snell for huge money, and they sign Jack Flaherty.
What about they trade for Mike Trout? Get him out of Anaheim.
Ooh, now you're talking. They have a tough outfield, though. We already have Wheeler.
So this ownership group has traded the Cy Young Award winner in the National League. Yeah. They have traded the MVP of the National League and two-time champion now in Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
And they got what in return?
They got Jeter Downs.
I mean, it's so bad you almost have to laugh.
It's enough to make you cry.
And then you'll have people in that building, like, I'm a bad guy, according to the Red Sox. I'm the a-hole. That I just say to them that what they've done has changed, and they tell me with a straight face that it hasn't.
Here's my question to you. Why? This really makes me question the whole Mookie thing. Shouldn't they come out and say, Mookie didn't want to be here, we offered him $300 million, we would have gone higher, he just didn't want to be here. The fact that they haven't said that, at this point, just to save face, if it's true, you know what I mean? Maybe you're right, maybe they cheaped out.
Well,
I'm starting to...
Ken, maybe you're right that what did he sign for? 350?
365, I think.
Okay. So maybe it would have taken 385. And the Red Sox don't stand to gain by saying that they wouldn't spend $20 million more, and Mookie doesn't stand to gain that he went for such a small amount in terms of 10 years. But either way, this is where, like, Ken, we always get lost in this, where we think that inflection point is the day Mookie's traded. No. When your parents aren't home and you have parties when they're gone, the inflection point is not when they get home and they see the empties. It's that they didn't know enough to prevent you from doing that all week long. And what the Red Sox when they are deadbeat dads and they have other interests outside of baseball, the house is allowed to become a mess to the point where it's only salvageable by getting rid of things. And the Red Sox interest and attention has been and continues to be in other ventures other than the Red Sox, which is why a guy like Mookie Betts was allowed to feel, if he did, that Boston wasn't for him, and allowed to get to the point where he, no matter what they did in the end, the damage had already been done.
But counterpoint to that is, they did sign Devers. I know you get caught up in the other ventures and their interest in it, but if these other ventures are successful and it brings the organization and the business up, they still have the money to spend. They could do both. They could be owners of the Penguins and still sign marquee free agents to come here.
They have shown no interest in
doing that.
That could still happen. Right. It could, you know.
And in Mookie's case, I just don't know what the truth is. So we got some Red Sox fans calling.
Jackson could get 1,600 on the SAT.
He is pretty smart in those quiz games. Right. He's kind of sneaky smart. Might be the smartest guy on the show.
Not very high praise.
Let's go to Ted in Portland, Maine. Hello, Ted.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
I'm more torqued about what they got back for Mookie. I mean, first of all, they never should have traded Mookie. I mean, I think that's a given. But the writing was on the wall. They were never going to keep him. $36.5 million, especially in 2024, is nothing compared to what's going on now. But to get back what they got back and then see Alex Verdugo strike out on the last play of the World Series, the guy that you got back and then you got rid of, that set me off. I'm like, that is just embarrassing.
It is. I mean, and they got pitchers. They got Richard Fitz and some other guys for Verdugo, so I guess that's part of the Mookie. Who knows what those guys turn into.
I mean,
Greg Weissert.
If you don't love Dick Fitz, I don't know what's your problem.
But, yeah, Verdugo, Connor Wong, Jeter Downs, and you got now some stuff back for Verdugo, who was a head case when he was here.
And also the ownership is so duplicitous. Like, you bring in Heim Bloom because you don't have the balls to be the one that trades Mookie Betts. Heim Bloom trades him, does what he's instructed to do, fulfills everything that the ownership group hired him to do, which was rebuild the Dombrowski Barron farm system, according to them.
Right.
And then he gets fired.
And he got whacked.
Like, there's no accountability. Who's accountable in the Red Sox organization? Alex Cora, swoon after swoon, gets extension. I mean, who, honestly, go back to 03. They fired Grady Little after they won 93 games. This organization fired...
Did you feel bad a little bit for Grady in that documentary?
I hate Grady. I mean, he seems like a nice guy, but no.
They just beat on him in the documentary.
They fired Dombrowski a year after the team that he created had the best season in the history of the organization.
Right.
Now we've had 6 years, and they suck, and there's nobody being accountable.
Let's go to Mel in the car. Hello, Mel.
Hey, guys. Love your show and love the talk about Mookie. Yeah, it still hurts. Yeah, I'm still ticked. But it was kind of like watching a Red Sox series being in the World Series, seeing how so many players on both teams were, you know, former Red Sox players.
I know.
It was. And the only thing I can say about Mookie is that I'm happy for him. I'm happy for anybody that, you know, manages to go and have a better career, that because we clearly do not treat our guys with the love and with the, you know, devotion they should get. You know, you get good guys, treasure them, keep them, you know, make them feel like he does out there with the Dodgers. I'm not saying that never happened to me. Certainly we had Ortiz and we love him and we always will. We love our great players. We as fans, but ownership clearly, you know, has got some work to do. So that's all I had to say.
Thanks for the call, Mel. That's somebody who obviously believes Mookie would have stayed if they had taken care of him, made him feel special.
I think people that have functioning brains believe that. The other thing, Ken, also, just in terms of forget about the past and did they want him, would he have signed, talk about the damage for this organization in terms of public perception. You're saying this offseason if they spend money. So if you're a great player, you see Mookie winning with the Dodgers, you see Sale thriving with the Braves, you see these guys that used to use the Red Sox as the leverage point because they were always a top spender, changing entirely their course. So if it's all being equal, you know, would you want to come to Boston? Is Boston still a desirable place to play? I don't know.
Well, they have prospects now, thanks to Heim. What do you think, Joe? You're the producer of the Play Tessie podcast. Would Mookie have stayed? And what was a better, more to the point, more enjoyable to see the Yankees lose?
I was more happy to see the Yankees lose than the Dodgers win. But I think both of your statements can be true. Mookie didn't want to stay in Boston, but he also wanted to get as much money as possible.
Yeah, but in that case, if he didn't want to stay in Boston, it's a moot point. Then the owners are off the hook, which I think is what Jim thinks. Jim is in the car weighing in on the subject. Hi, Jim.
Hey, I think it's a little more subtle than Mookie didn't want to leave. He had a chance to go to L.A. So, like, if you're a basketball player, the Celtics have a certain mystique that other teams cannot match. But if you're a baseball player, really, New York, I'm sorry to say it, New York and L.A. are the top spots. Boston is, you know, good, but not, you know, Carl Yastrzemski will never be as famous as Steve Garvey was.
Well, I would just ask Jim, that wasn't the case the last 20 years. I mean, that's shifted because the ownership's way of running the business has shifted. Nobody said, I would rather be a Dodger than a Red Sox in 07 or 13 or 18.
Right, but maybe Mookie could feel the shift coming.
Okay, I mean, but that's, he was traded. He didn't sign in L.A.
It was a weird time. You recall we were producers of a morning show, and we didn't talk about the Red Sox at all during the season that year.
Right.
So it was a weird, the Red Sox in the pantheon of Boston sports at that time were in an odd place for sure.
Well, I mean, you're talking about a year.
No, obviously Brady was hot and everything was going on about with Gronk and
Tom versus time.
Yeah.
You're talking about the Patriots going for their sixth championship. You had the Bruins in game 7 of the Cup final.
I mean, that was later. That was 19.
But the 18 season, 18-19, the Red Sox won in October of 2018.
Right. But so, summer of 18.
17, you had the end
of 108 games.
So in February of 2018, you had Butler's benching. Probably the most significant moment in recent sports radio history.
Yeah.
So it's easy to get overshadowed by that.
Well, 508 texter, bottom line, Mookie turned down 10 years, $300 million, as reported by Lou, thinking he could get more. The Red Sox had to trade him. The pandemic hit, and he had to sign for less than he wanted. I believe that they offered him $300 million, but I guess what was Mookie's response to that? Was it like, you've insulted me financially, or I'm not staying, don't even bother to negotiate? And I still don't quite know the answer.
It's just a loser's lament. If he didn't want to stay here, then the issue is with you, not Mookie, because Mookie is a winning player who was great on and off the field.
You can listen to the show on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Download it, take it wherever you go. Chris Curtis, member of this Ken and Curtis program, he is a member of the Greg Hill Morning Show. They'll be at Gillette Monday. Patriots, Titans. Patriots are, what's the line?
3.5, I think.
3.5.
Undies.
Disrespect. Getting disrespected at 2-6. Is it possible?
So the worst recent, the Brady regular season game where he tried to do the Philly special against Mariota and he busted his leg. That was such an awful game. was that 2018 or 2019? When they went down to Nashville and they lost.
I think it was 19. They played him twice that year?
No.
Maybe it was 18.
So. We'll look into that.
All right, look into that. What is a Patriots successful season the rest of the way? Do wins matter? I want to broach that subject with you next. Rocking on your weekend, Ken and Curtis Show. The great Dee Snider. I met Dee Snider once. Dee Snider has ginormous hands, like Greg Hill-sized hands. Huge.
Bigger hands and more awkward encounter. Sims or Dee Snider?
The Sims encounter was bizarre. I had like, it was 2 hours of Phil Sims just yapping away, describing the Bears game to me in Chicago. Now, that brings up my point.
Is anybody dumber than Chris Sims on TV?
Chris Sims?
Like every time he starts talking, it's troublesome.
They have a lot of NBC. Who's the other guy?
Zach Collinsworth.
Yeah,
the Collinsworth
kid.
That gig.
Yeah,
the Collinsworth kid. The, what's his face doing? Yeah, Zach Collinsworth does Notre Dame football.
As Fitzy pointed out.
I know a lot of stuff here.
The fact that Jason Benetti is doing the game tomorrow says it all about the status of Pat's Titans.
Jason Benetti. He did BC like E3. What's the where you get all the games of ESPN online?
ESPN Plus?
ESPN Plus. He did like BC Holy Cross last year.
Well, he's going to bring you all the action tomorrow at Nissan Stadium.
Have you ever been to Nashville?
I haven't. I was jealous when you were there walking around by Bridgestone Arena. Hockey guy that you are.
It is. Oof. What is it? Puka Rene? What's the guy's name?
Yes, Pekka Rene.
Pekka Rene. Puka.
Puka Rene.
That's what Greg was doing on Broadway. Huh. No. What an easy city. Like, it's tiny.
Yeah, that's a hole in my resume. I got to get there.
But, like, for a guys' trip weekend. You go to one of the many hotels off Broadway. You walk 5 minutes to Broadway. There's, you know, every bar, every band, country music playing. Then you just cross over this bridge right over a river down there, and you're literally, like, right at the stadium.
These are back-to-back good trips if you're a Pats fan. Tennessee and then Chicago next 2 weeks.
Oh,
great
Chicago's
road trips.
Awesome. That was a great trip. 2018 went out there, and they had, who was that? Who was there? Was it Grossman? No.
Maybe.
Rex. Soldier Field is awesome.
So, question here is, do wins matter the rest of the way? If the Patriots, and I know the answer from you, you won't admit it, but you are judging every week Bill's record versus Mayo's record. Bill had 2 wins last year. Mayo has 2 wins. So they do matter to you.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. So I didn't know that you were going to say that. So they're mattering to Mayo, the fact that they're pushing May to play tomorrow. That's part of the thing that's driving them. So we came into the year saying it only matters about Drake May's development.
As Mitch Harper, my great high school football coach, would say, if they're keeping score, you want to win.
Okay. So then they should play May tomorrow if he's cleared by an independent neurologist.
It didn't work great on us, but yes, he should play. No, of course not. You can play to win without jeopardizing your future. This is not a must-win game. If Drake May was getting ready for the divisional round of the playoffs, this wouldn't even be a conversation for me. This is not that case. This is a team that is four games under 500.
Yeah.
That is on a roster that is not talented, that is actively looking to relinquish talent and trade it for future picks.
I love, too, that the Titans are playing games with their quarterbacks. You're not sure whether it's Mason Rudolph or Will Levis. They're keeping that close to the vest.
Speaking of Zach Collinsworth, I wonder how this Callahan got his gig. His father sucked Callahan. With the Raiders.
But they went for an offensive guy as coach. Back to somebody else's, Ben Johnson.
Am I the
call?
One that thinks about Zielinski and Callahan Auto whenever I hear Callahan as a coach?
Yeah, I don't know that reference.
Oh, Tommy Boy.
Ah, you're in. See this Tommy Boy, the comedic genre that you are into. I don't know that well.
Tommy Boy is one of the great movies of all time.
You reference it every week. I know. I saw it, but I don't remember these lines.
Oh,
you
my
like
God.
Can like cite it like first.
Bees everywhere.
Rob Flo was in that.
They have a 5-game stretch here of 1 o'clock games. Your Patriots. They could go 4-1.
Okay, now you just ruined it.
They could. Tennessee this week winnable. Yes.
Yes.
At Chicago next week winnable.
And that's another thing. Get Drake ready for Caleb. Give him an extra week.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. That's yeah. Clash of first round.
By the way, quickly, we all love the Commanders. Mego's a big fan. She'll be on at noon. Why does nobody bring up that Mariota was unbelievable when he got into the game a week and a half ago? Like. We all love Jaden Daniels, a great Hail Mary. He's the, you know, obviously the great pick, but
he must have struggled to that point, right?
It was Carolina also was the opponent.
Well, still good.
But so, back to my point.
Yeah.
You could win, you could have a 3-game win streak here if things break right for you. You could be sitting at 4-6 going into that Rams game at home.
Oof. 1 o'clock game, West Coast to East Coast.
I don't see them beating the Rams.
Coaching edge Mayo or McVay?
He might, the fear of Belichick, the specter of Bill.
The Cole Strange game.
He
should come back for that game just to mock Les Snead.
And then you got Miami on the road, winnable. Colts, you could go 4-1 by the bye week.
What date is the Miami game?
November 24th.
Ooh, Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, going into the, because it's late this year, right?
No,
Thanksgiving weekend's later. But you could
Wait,
be
so Thanksgiving is the 28th of
28th
November?
This year, I think. Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Oh,
you could be 6-7 at the bye. Call me crazy.
I will call you crazy, but I think they'll win this. I think they'll win tomorrow.
Okay, then you're 3-6.
Back to back, 3-6 ahead of Bell's pace.
It?
Oh,
Texter asking earlier, but the betting on the morning show has gotten out of control. The parlays.
Yeah.
What is happening?
I don't know. But Greg gets so mad when I bring up Bill's record. Boy, it goes right up the keister.
All right, 1 hour to go. The Ken and Curtis program. 617-779-7937. More on Drake May and whether he should play tomorrow next.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.